All hail the power of Jesus' name. You and I are here this morning to worship and honor our Father who is in heaven. And we're so thankful that all of you are here this morning. We appreciate your coming to be with us in this hour of worship. It's good to see Dwight and Shelly back, and also Kyle and Dina. They were on an extended trip to Alaska. And I told Dwight this morning, I thought I saw an icicle hanging off his shoulder. But anyway, we are glad that they're back. And we're certainly glad that all of you are here, too, this morning. This is Father's Day. It is that special time when we have a lot of visitors who come. And many of our own members are out of town today to be with their father. And that is appropriately so. But it is Father's Day. And, you know, it really is a wonderful time for us to pay tribute to our fathers, whether they are living or whether they have deceased. You know, many families today are fatherless in the sense that the family is not together. And actually, a father has to become a mother, and sometimes mothers become fathers in the family as well. And so, in whatever situation you find yourself today, we want you to know that we appreciate and we love you very, very much. But aren't we thankful for our Heavenly Father who holds us within the palm of His eternal hand? Father's Day is such a wonderful, wonderful day. It really is. And you know, fathers are those who must choose to lead their families. It is a choice. God placed you here to give you the opportunity to make that choice. You can either choose to lead your family, or you can choose to allow your family to lead themselves. In the book of Psalms, the 112th Psalm, King David here in this particular passage reminds us of our responsibility as fathers in the home. And he says to us, "Rise up, O men of God." I invite your reading this morning. The Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth, the generation of the upright shall be blessed, and wealth and riches shall be in his house. And his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness. He is gracious, he is full of compassion and righteous. A good man, the Bible says, showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil findings, because his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established, and he shall not be afraid until he see the desire, his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever, and he shall be exalted with honor." I know one thing, the Bible teaches that the man who honors God will be blessed in every dimension of his life. And that's what I really want to talk to you about this morning. What did God really intend for you? Do you know God had a purpose for your life like he had a purpose for my life? He does. And have you ever stopped to analyze that purpose that God really has for you? I believe David focused on it when he talks about the intention of God for every man who walks the face of this earth. But what does the blessed man of God really look like? Do we see men like that in today's world, those referred to by King David? I believe so. There is a promise from God concerning a man who is honored of God. Think about it. In verse 2, it talks about his children, how they will be blessed. It talks about the character of this man in verse 3 and 4. It talks about his conduct, how he lives his life. It talks about his confidence that he has in the Almighty God who is in heaven, verse 6 through 8. And then we find the commendation from our Father that he gives unto such men. I believe that God is still commending those today who walk in his way. Listen to it. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor doth he sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. And notice what he says. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. You see, he talks about the tree, but he talks about the leaves on the tree, the family members. Sometimes we even refer to the family tree, do we not? But he says, everything that he does, it will prosper. But let me ask you a question. Where are the men of God today? This is the kind of man that our country needs. You know, people talk about making America great again, and I appreciate our president and his attempt to do so, and thank God we are coming much, much closer to the America that I once knew when I was growing up as a child, and I'm so thankful and grateful for it. It is the kind of men that we need in this country. It is the kind of man that a wife needs. We need husbands to be the right kind of men in the family, to their children. Your children need to see you as a role model and one who is modeling not the world lives like, but one who is modeling the God of heaven. And you know, in the church today, we need men. Rise up, O men of God. We need men in the church that are righteous and honorable, men that are honest, men that are of integrity, men that are leading and stepping forth to become the right kind of people that God intended for us to be. You know, God says one thing and man says another. Man focuses on how to help their children make a living. God focuses on how to help your children make a life. And I'm going to tell you this morning that the thing that is most important, it should be the most important in every family, is the fact that the head of the house, that is the husband, they always like to be called the head of the house, you know. They always like to be the one that calls the shots. They all like to be the one who is honored above all else. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to be honored by God, you rise up and become the man that God wants you to be. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about four areas that I believe that God will help us all to become. And I want you to listen, especially fathers, I want you to listen to what I'm saying to you this morning. Because what I'm telling you is something that comes from this book. I'm telling you what God says about the role of the father in the home. Let me tell you, first of all, that you should acknowledge the power of your influence. You know, sometimes we underestimate the power of our influence. Sometimes we think our kids aren't watching our lives, but let me tell you, they are watching you day and night. They are observing what you do. You may tell your kids one thing, and you may do another. And I'm going to tell you what will end up happening is not what you tell them to do, but they will follow you as a role model. They will begin to model their lives after what they see in you. That's why God says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. But you make sure that you bring them. He didn't say teach them up, but he says bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. You know what? My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. And I'm going to tell you honestly today that what you see in my life, by and large, is what I saw in my father's life. I regret that my two daughters really didn't get to know my dad because he died right before we moved to Palestine in October of 1971. Sometimes my children and grandchildren have asked me what my father was like. And I would say to them sometimes, what you see in me is a reflection of how my own father lived. He loved God. He loved my mother. He loved his children. He always provided for us. He was there in the difficult times of our life. And I'm going to tell you something, that's what your children need today. I'm so thankful that my father modeled Christianity before me. I'm thankful that he modeled a life of righteousness. And he was honored. Ephesians 5 and verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You know, when you think about how Christ loved the church, you will remember that he modeled himself before the church. Jesus, you know, if you read the book of Acts, the Bible says the book of Acts is a book of those things that Jesus both began to do and teach. And you know what? Go back to the book of Acts chapter 2. That's exactly what it says. And it says it in that order. It didn't say that these are things that Jesus both began to teach and do, but it was things that Jesus both began to do and then teach. That's why it's so important that we as fathers not only teach our children verbally, but that we live before them in a way to be the kind of example that we ought to be before them. And the same thing is true with a husband and his wife. A man has a tremendous influence in the family, and especially with his wife. And if you are the head of the family, if you are the one who guides your family, you better make sure that you're guiding your family in the way of Jehovah God, because you will stand accountable for what you do and how you live. You know, some marriages are not happy. I understand that. They're not. Sometimes they're not happy, maybe because mom's not fulfilling her role. Or maybe the wife is not fulfilling her role. But a lot of times it's because the man is not honoring his role that God has given unto him. As a father, you have a great influence over your own children. You do. You know, I know we always talk about the fact that mom gets more credit than the father, but that may not necessarily be so. It would amaze you sometimes the influence of a father and a husband in the family. In the book of Psalms 112, listen to verse 1 and 2. And I want you to look specifically down at verse 2. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth, and the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Now, I told you about my own father, and I'm thankful for my own father. But I'm thankful for my grandfather as well. My grandfather was an elder in the Lord's church for many, many years, esteemed and loved. And what you saw in my father was a reflection of how his father lived, my grandfather lived. And so I guess in reality, what you see in me today, how I live my life, goes back to another generation. And then a generation before that, my great-grandfather, who was a child of God. You see, that's what happens when we live like God wants us to live. And every generation that follows goes way back. And it all goes back to our Heavenly Father. The heart of every little boy or girl lies within the Father's hands. And every broken promise and every abusive word tears a hole in the heart of a child that sometimes cannot be mended. It will be there forever and for generations to follow. That's why we have to be oh so careful about the way that we live our lives. We must direct our children in the right path. The book of Proverbs 22:6 says, direct your children in the way that they shall go, and then when they're old, they will not depart from it. One translation says they won't leave it. Now, they may even sometimes for a short period of time, but they come back home. They come back to God. They come back to that way of righteousness because of what they have seen. David, in his writings to ancient Israel, had these words to say about families and about fathers. He said, lo, that children are a heritage of the Lord. Consider that. Your children are a heritage of God. I was a heritage of God to my own father. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. And as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Now, if you can't really grasp what he's saying here, I'm telling you that David is saying, just as we shoot those arrows where we want them to go, you and I have to direct our children in the right path. We need to make sure that they're walking in the ways of God. And when we don't, folks, we have no one to blame but our own selves. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. I was chastened of my father. How many of you ever got a spanking when you did wrong? That's what's wrong with this church. We've got too many that didn't get spankings. I'm going to tell you, I used to tell people all the time that my father was the first exorcist I ever knew because he beat the devil out of me. There were times when I needed it. I know I needed it because he looked at me and he said, son, you need a whipping. There is nothing wrong with punishing a child. I don't care what the ACLU says and the liberal media and all those folks. I'm going to tell you something. This book right here is much more important to me than anything. And when God says it, and you listen to what he says, he that spareth the rod hateth, listen to that, hateth his son. But he that loveth him will chasten him betimes, many times. You know why you do that? It's because you love that child. Fathers that don't correct their children don't love them. They don't. That's as simple as it can be. Ephesians 6:4, and fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't make them mad. You've seen fathers that provoke their kids to wrath? I've seen them do it. They get them angry. They make them mad. And then when a child rebels because he's not corrected in love, then the father gets all upset. But the Bible says, here's the way you correct that child. You bring them up. You nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I've seen fathers who would anger their children, and their children, instead of really wanting to change, they become so discouraged. Sometimes fathers say hateful things to their kids. I've heard them say, can't you do anything right? I've seen them sometimes correct with anger and hatred in their hearts, not with love. God says, those that I love, I rebuke and chasten. In the book of Chronicles in the Old Testament, in that second book, to Israel in chapter 17 and 3. The writer said, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. Now, think about this just a minute. Jehoshaphat walked in the ways of his father David. Your children will walk in your ways. In 2 Chronicles 26:4, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. according to all that his father Amaziah did. Now, there are some people, we have numerous examples in the Bible, who followed the godless and the sinless example of their fathers. And I want to show you something. You just watch what I'm telling you this morning. I'm thankful for the righteous who lead their children in the right way, but there are some that do not. For in the book of 1 Kings 22 and verse 52, the Bible says, "And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin." You know what we're talking about? We're talking about Azariah, who was the son of Ahab, who was wicked. Remember Ahab and Jezebel? Well, the Bible says that Azariah walked in the ways of evil. What do you think his children are going to do? And what do you think his great-grandchildren are going to do? I can tell you, they won't be walking in the ways of God. In Jeremiah 9 and verse 14, "But they have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their father," listen to this, "their fathers taught them." There you have it. Goes back to the father, doesn't it? It does. Heard the old expression that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree? But there's a second thing you need to know this morning about these godly men that we're talking about in Psalms 112. Avoid the pitfalls of your masculinity. What do we mean by that? Being a parent means loving your children. When was the last time you told your children, "I loved you"? You may say, "Well, they know I love them." That's not the issue. God has asked us to worship him, and on a regular basis. I think parents ought to say to their kids every day, "I love you, honey. I love you." And you should love your children more than you love yourself. When I talk about the masculinity, and a lot of people take pride in their masculinity, but there are many pitfalls that are before us, and this is one that we need to avoid. Some men are arrogant husbands and fathers. They talk down to their wife. They talk down to their children and to their grandchildren. And let me ask you again, what do you think those children will do, those sons, when they grow up? How will they address their wife and their children? It'll be the same. It'll be the same. Some are autocratic and demanding. You know what? That's a shame, isn't it? Because you know what? Our children deserve better than that. They deserve a father who really is the kind of role model that he ought to be, not someone who is demanding. Matter of fact, the greater emphasis in the Bible regarding fathers and their families is that a father is a spiritual leader. Anybody can call shots. Anybody can say, "Do it this way," or "I want you to do it my way." God says you get out there and you lead your family. And you lead them, not demanding, but you lead them. Some are what we call absentee fathers. When we talk about sometimes the avoiding the pitfalls of one's masculinity, some husbands and some fathers are absentee. They never spend time with the family. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't spend time with your family, you cannot really lead them. You can't. You can't lead when you're not a leader. Some are abusive husbands and fathers, and we hear about it all the time. We hear about spousal abuse. And we hear about fathers abusing their children. Horrible thing sometimes. Taking cigarettes and burning a child with it. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, for that kind of person, it is better that a millstone were hung around his neck and him tossed into the depths of the sea. Be the kind of husband of which your wife can truly say, my husband is the love of my life. Strong, caring, thoughtful, a great provider, an awesome father, my lover, and my best friend. A good father is one of the most unsung heroes in our world today. It is true. One of the most valuable assets to our society. Because as the father goes, so goes the home. A dad, someone has appropriately said, is someone who holds you when you cry. He scolds you when you break the rules. He shines with pride when you succeed and has faith in you even when you fail, because we all make mistakes. But thirdly, we need to arrange the priorities of our life. What is really important? What is important to you this morning? Does God even fit in the picture? Does he really? I'm not just talking about coming to worship. I know we fit into your picture this morning. But how well does he really fit into the scheme of things in your life? You know, we all ought to set proper priorities when it comes to man's relationship with God. The Bible says in the book of Matthew 6 and 33 to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The wife has to fit into the scheme of things. You married her. Think about it. I know husbands say sometimes, well, you know, my wife's just not all she should be. My wife has a lot of faults. Well, that may be true. But maybe it was your faults that kept her from getting a better husband. What's your priority with your children? One of these days, they will grow up. They will, and they'll be gone. They do. Don't your kids grow up? They grow up so quick. Someone was telling me the other day about someone that was graduating from high school this year. I couldn't hardly believe it. Last time I saw him, he was just a little old tyke, you know? And amazing, amazing how quickly they grow up. Do you give God first place in your life? And let me tell you, when you give God first place in your life, you're giving your children first place in your life. You are. You can determine who controls your life and who is first place by who or what consumes most of your energy mentally and what controls your calendar space or your clock. How much time do you really give to God and your family? Last of all, these men that we're talking about this morning and what David talked about in Psalms 112 is the fact that we ought to assume the place of our responsibility. You know, God has placed a tremendous responsibility upon the husband and the father in the family. He has more so than the woman. It is true. Listen to what he says in Psalms 112 and verse 3. You want your family to be well taken care of? He says, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness shall endure forever. Now, that's what God says. There's no TV evangelist up here shouting out, telling you to send your money to God in care of me. I'm not saying that. What I'm telling you is when you do the right thing and you live before God honorably and righteously, I'm going to tell you something. God will meet every need in your life. You have a responsibility financially to take care of your children, because you know what? When you're righteous, God's going to take care of you and you're going to be able to take care of your family. You are. It's as simple as that. Whether you're talking about a house, you're talking about an automobile, you're talking about clothes, whatever you may be talking about financially, God is going to meet your needs. But there are spiritual responsibilities. For verse 2 says that the Father has that tremendous role. Listen again to Ephesians 6:4. Bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. If parents don't bring their children up, chances are they won't be brought up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. And the more that a man takes a responsibility in his home, the more he will make sense out of the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. And then there are family responsibilities. I know your to-do list is long. Mine is long too. We ought to compare them sometime. They are long. We all have a to-do list. But never get so busy that you can't spend enough time with your family to make sure that they will follow the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. A woman's heart, listen to this, a woman's heart should be so hidden in God that a man has to seek God to find, for him to find her. Take time for them today, Dad, to train up a child in the way she'll go, and then he'll not depart from it. Tomorrow may be too late. It might. Could be. I'm so thankful that God is watching over my children. I'm thankful that he's watching over my grandchildren. And I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus is watching over me and my family. And I will always be eternally grateful. And I will acknowledge it someday to his face in heaven. Isn't it time that you as fathers this morning begin dealing with the spiritual condition of your own life? I told you that my father left a tremendous example. He did because he understood these words, to rise up, O men of God, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1. He understood that it was time to quit ignoring the teaching of Christ and start following in the path and the example of his own father. And he taught me the same. God asked us to stand up. I am so thankful for my father, for his love, for his compassion, for his instruction, for taking me to worship. When it would have been very easy for me as a young boy after my father died not to go. But my father never gave us the option. We got up on Sunday morning. It wasn't a matter of staying home to watch television or to head out to the lake. I knew where we were going because I knew where my father was going. We all miss our fathers that have gone on. But their legacy lives on. Someone said, if heaven had visiting hours, I would come every day just to say hello and make sure that you're okay. But this life isn't easy, living without you now. I've been trying to make it, to prove I can somehow. If heaven had visiting hours, I would long to see your face. And I wouldn't be so sad about the distance and the space. I just want to come and see you. even though I know you're in a better place. Just want to hug you and never let go. And wish the hours could go by oh so slow. But God in heaven needed you. And it was time to go. If heaven had visiting hours, I'd be there all the while to let you know I loved you and to greet you with a smile. I hope that every father here today is so living your life in such a way as to know that your heaven, your children will be in heaven because of the way that you lived your life. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. How can you possibly lead your family if you're not following him? The eternal security of your wife and your children will be based upon what you do as a husband and as a father. Now, you can't lead your children to be baptized and become Christians if you're not a baptized believer. That's why it's so important that this is the beginning point. And it can be the beginning point for maybe for some of you this morning that are not Christians to step out and give your hand to me and your heart to God and to live as the Lord wants you to live. Maybe you need to be restored as a Christian, as a father. Sometimes our children need to see that. They know when you've strayed. And they know when you draw close to God. And hopefully they can say when this life comes to an end for you, you know, I'd like to go see Dad. I wish heaven had visiting hours. Will you make that difference this morning in your family? Tomorrow could be too late. It may be now or never. Where will your children be when they cross the finish line? Your wife, your children are waiting on you to lead the way. But more especially, God is waiting. Why do you keep him waiting? Let us stand and let us sing.